Welcome back to another episode of Words of Wellness with Dr. Wells. And today is a much anticipated topic, as we have been talking about with health and mental health. And you know, we are huge into holistic health. And this is why I brought on a special guest today. Ooh. Her name is Jubilee. Well, but to you all, she is known as Dr. Alicia Logan, owner of Logos Health. And she is an extraordinary young woman of God that really can't be described until you meet her. You will see once you have met her. One, she is the spitting image of her mother. But also, she is a prayer warrior. She is that person that has no enemies. And part of that is intentional. But also, once you have met her, you will see that why. But I brought her in today. Many of you already know her. But for those that don't, she is bringing in faith and health. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, I believe she operates out of that order. And so we are going to dive into the mind and the business of Alicia Logan. So, hello.
Hello. Oh, that was so good.
How are you?
So fancy. I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me as your guest today.
Yes, I am so happy to finally get you in. It has been an incredible last 7 months?
6 months. Okay. Yeah.
What happened 6 months ago?
Well, you know what? The Lord blessed me to bring not one, but two babies into this earth. So they have preoccupied me just a little bit.
We're not going into my normal seeing of sleeping, eating, and exercising and how everybody does, but mm-hmm. How is your sleeping with the Jason Jet?
Oh my gosh. Is that a trick question? It is non-existent. It is. But you know, this is a season. It is a season, and he gives more grace. So I thank you for his grace that it's carrying me through. Yes. Sleep is all over the place.
Okay. Well, cool. I don't know all of it. You have privied me to know a little bit of it, but who is Alicia Logan?
Wow. Well, I think you did a great job of describing me. I would say I'm a daughter first.
Okay.
I believe that just in order. So I'm an orderly person, but I submit to a pastor and I submit to my husband, and I'm a wife and a mother and a daughter and a sister. But I would say of all those roles, I love being a wife. I absolutely love being a mother. And so the Lord has gifted me with the ministry of Logos Health. And so I'm grateful for that opportunity. My first ministry is my house, is my family.
Absolutely.
And so I've been very blessed with a supportive husband who allows me to serve others in this capacity. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always very, very mindful of that. But I'm a caregiver. Mm-hmm. I'm a teacher. And that I say that, you know, in the natural sense, because that's my profession too. But the Lord has gifted me with the ability to teach. I also have been blessed to do so in a way that is impactful, and through His grace. I just got a text message from one of my students, actually. She's only been in my class for a week, and I've already left an impression on her. So that's God's grace. It really is. Being able to connect with people in a way that feels authentic.
Yes.
And I feel very blessed to be able to do all that I do. So I would say I'm a lot of things, but so many of us are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That is a very well-rounded view that I agree with
you.
Of who you are, especially. And I love that you said that this is not a company, which it is, or a business within it, but this is also your ministry.
It is.
Tell us about Logos. It's coming in on 3 years?
Yes. In August, it'll be 3 years.
Okay.
So Logos was birthed out of the fast that Judah Church went on in early January 2021. We know we have an annual fast that we do.
Yeah.
And the Lord, and so this was, we were kind of right in the early parts of the pandemic.
Okay.
And the Lord was sharing with me that he wanted me to open up a business, a clinic, to be able to take care of his people. His people needed a place to go. And so that really was the vision.
Okay.
And so I was like, huh? What? I've never done that before.
Yeah.
And so it seems almost surreal on this side of it, because at that time I didn't even know how you got a license to do that. Like, who regulates your clinics? Like, do I have to go get something from the Board of Health that says I can be here? Like, what does that look like? I was very much at that point in my career used to an organization that took care of everything, that did your licensing and your credentialing, and they took care of the patient billing, and they took care of your schedules. And if you had a problem, you went to your office manager and they just made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So to have to figure out how to do that on my own was very intimidating.
Okay.
But almost immediately, as soon as I gave the Lord my yes, not, you know, figuring it all out, he began to open up doors. So I had, and in my profession, I have to provide a 90-day notice. And so that's very usual and customary. And some companies is actually longer than that. And the reason being is that they need time to be able to adjust all of your patients, which at that point, you know, it could be thousands of patients, and find someone else, which can take time to find a provider, to onboard, train them, and then make that exchange.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's part of the agreement. When I went in to give this notice, I asked if I could give it personally to the staff. I said, can I talk to them and tell them, you know, why I'm leaving, and, you know, it's on good terms, and there's nothing, you know, there's no animosity or anything. Mm-hmm. Immediately after, one of the team members came up to me privately and said, I know what you're going to do. I said, do you? She's like, yeah, you're leaving to go open this clinic. I'm like, yeah. She said, there's a doctor that I work with in Charlotte. He does the exact same thing, and I helped him start his clinic. Go talk to him. He'll show you what to do.
Wow.
And she absolutely was right. He let me come and follow him around for a day, and I literally took a notebook and wrote down everything.
Wow.
And that was out of the obedience. Yes. It really is. So I say all that, you know,
fast
forward.
This is part of it.
Here I am now. And it was just an act of faith. I mean, to be completely honest, it was really act of faith and obedience. And I'll tell you this, we were trying to find a building. I didn't know where I knew I did not want to do in-home care. I had done that model in the past on a PRN basis, as needed basis. And I did not, I felt like it was not something that was a good fit for me.
Okay.
I did not feel like I had control, and I don't need control, but I feel like a lot of things were out of my control, and to some extent became a safety issue. And my husband did not feel comfortable with me, you know, going into people's homes all the time and not knowing where I was.
Totally
so I knew I needed a physical building to be in. I did not have, I was entertaining a space, didn't work out. The doctor that owned that building, we just couldn't reach an agreement with pricing. So it didn't work out. And my time was ticking away. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm kind of past the point of no return. Like, my days here are about to be up, and I don't have a place to go. And my last day there at the clinic, the very last day, I still had not signed the lease. It was the day after I got a call from the realtor that said, hey, you know, the space that you looked at, it's yours. You've got it. Now, here's the blessing. I've told this story before. I was looking for spaces after that deal fell through with the other doctor, and ended up kind of looking at an office space, and was directed to look at a space that was owned by an internal medicine doctor. He actually was going to be breaking his lease. He had cancer and needed to go take care of his treatment, rightfully so. But was still on the hook for the balance of a 5-year lease. He had 3 years remaining on that lease. And so he was going to pack up and leave and just be on the hook for the lease payment. And the realtor directed me to talk to him and said, I think you guys can work something out. Well, we did. And I ended up assuming his 3-year balance of his lease. So I took over the lease. He got out of the deal. And he also sold me all the equipment in the office, so exam tables, furniture, computers, chairs, lab, you know, everything that you would need, desks, for $1. He did. He sold me all the equipment for the dollar, everything. So, because, I mean, the favor of God, number one. Wow. And he said, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm going to bless you, and we would have to move it anyway. And, and so, you know, he had changed courses and was kind of at the end of his career. And so I stepped into a fully furnished office, that I did not have to, you know, pay for furniture. So, and that's just, I mean, that's just one small piece of, I mean, the Lord has blessed me. I mean, from just sending people to support me in the work. I've never had to post an ad.
Yeah.
The day that somebody decided that they needed to leave abruptly, you know, without much notice, I thought, well, Lord, what are we going to do now? Mm-hmm. The very next day, somebody called and said, hey, are you guys looking for an assistant? Yeah, and, you know, and I thought, God, I could not make this stuff up. I cannot make this up. Like, they just, who calls?
Yes.
That has never happened again. Let me just say that again. Right? Like, who just calls?
At that
moment. But, and it's just, it's a testimony of his faithfulness and his goodness. So, anyway, that's, I can be long-winded, but I feel like I'm exactly where God needs me to be.
Yeah. When did the call to medicine occur?
If you ask my family, they probably would tell you from, like, my whole life.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say probably very early on. And it's interesting because I, you know, my path is a little bit different in that I started out, actually, I started out as a CNA. I worked in nursing homes.
Okay.
In a nursing home. And then I knew that that was not something that was sustainable for me long term.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to anybody that is able to do that work. That is very hard work. Mm. But I also knew I wanted to serve people in a greater capacity.
Okay.
So I ended up going to school initially for nursing and worked as an ICU nurse.
Okay.
And then ended up doing some management stuff too, and then went back to school to become a nurse practitioner. Also started teaching along the same time. And so ultimately I finished a doctorate degree, you know, after that. But that was kind of my trajectory. So yeah, so anyway, so I get to do both. I get to kind of have you know, the blessing of, you know, my nursing background experience coupled with, you know, being able to teach at the same time, and then the academic side of things as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will mention this part because it's, I want to go into our faith in medicine
and how
those go together. And I've recently had just my own clients that are either parents are concerned about their adolescents, their children, or the adults themselves. And they want to, one particular time, or no, I take that back, a few times, people are trying to figure out if they have faith or not, because they need or require medicine for certain things, and especially when we're dealing with anxiety or fear. And so panic attacks may occur and things like that. However, there are some, I've had a couple of clients to where anxiety is an issue, and then medically they are prescribed medication, but then at the same time, they're the type of people that'll pray the house down too.
Yeah, that's good.
And they wonder, and now they've asked me, I'll tell them first statement is, I'm not a medical doctor, so don't go by just what this part. But if the physical side of health is telling you that you need something like this, but at the same time, spiritually, you have that covered. I don't want to go against what your health is already telling you.
Yes, that's good.
And it doesn't mean that you're not a believer either, because that's when fear comes in.
Correct.
With that too. And so what does that look like on your side? How do you deal with faith and medicine?
Yeah, so I don't separate them.
Okay.
That's first and foremost. I believe that God put healing and cures in the earth. I also believe that God gave men wisdom to be able to heal. In his graciousness, even though we are a fallen world and we live in a fallen state, in his graciousness and kindness, he provided treatments and cures for diseases, and gave us the ability to be able to invent, you know, new ideas, and because he's a creator, that's what he does. And so I don't separate the two. How would I approach a patient that was apprehensive about starting medicine, or feeling like starting medication was admitting defeat, as if they did not have faith in the Lord? You know, what's interesting is I've had that question come up before. It tends to only come up when it relates to diseases of mental health. So I want to be specific in that.
Okay.
And when I give this example, people laugh because they think it's funny. But sickness is sickness. I think we can all agree with that, right? Like, you know, if somebody, if you broke your toe or you had a heart attack, it's all sickness. Much like if someone had Parkinson's or Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease is a mental health condition.
Yes.
I don't think anyone would tell, you know, somebody with Alzheimer's disease, don't take your medicine. Like, right? Like,
yes, they, that's you, true.
No one, but because I say that only because if it's for the tangible things that we have the ability to easily diagnose through, you know, blood test or your blood pressure, which is, you know, a visual thing, people have an easier time accepting that. I can accept the fact that my blood sugar is not in alignment and that I have a condition called diabetes and I need to work on that. And most people would reasonably follow, you know, guidance and instruction and lifestyle changes for that. When you tell someone that you have a condition known as anxiety, they immediately rebuke you and go, in the name of Jesus, no, I don't. I don't receive it. I don't receive it. And I'm like, well, whether you receive it or not, we have to identify it, right? We can't even cast it out if we don't even know what it is. So, like, we got to call a thing, right? Like, let's call things things.
Yeah, it's true.
It's so funny. And our pastor does not do this, but I have said in many churches, they go, I rebuke the doctor's report. No. Don't rebuke it. Because some of it is true. Like, let's get healed from it, but we don't want to rebuke it.
So whose report will you leave?
Right, like let's, okay. And I don't believe in pronouncing judgments over people. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But like, we got to know that, no, your cholesterol really is 500. Yeah. Like, we can't keep rebuking that. Yeah. Like, we gotta change that. And so I use medication, and I use this example. If you had someone that has severe anxiety, particularly it was debilitating or interfering with their quality of life or their ability to function in life, or their ability to have meaningful relationships, like it is interfering with the way they carry out their existence. That needs to be addressed. We pray. And we use medication. We use both because I believe that the Lord has called us to do so. It's not an either or. If God heals you, you're healed. If God says be healed, you are healed, right? Yeah. You would not still be suffering from the physical symptoms of that, right?
Yeah.
So that is a sign to you that maybe your healing is not instantaneous. Maybe it's a process. Maybe your healing comes from, and I'm not plugging you, but the combination of medication and faith and counseling.
Yeah.
Maybe there are things that need to be uprooted through exploring and discussing.
Yes.
And so I don't think that it's a one size fits all approach. I would think that if a patient had a vision problem and needed glasses, I would be absolutely insane to take their glasses and say, now drive home. In the name of Jesus, you are healed. You but like, but I can't see, right?
I can't spit on the wall.
But you are like, think about the practicality of that. But we tell people to do that with their mental health all the time.
Yes.
We tell people to do that with their mental health all the time. Take off your glasses and you are healed. Well, if I was healed, my heart rate is still 100, beating 100, and I'm still shaking and sweating. Like, I feel those symptoms. And I do believe that there's a process that people go through, but when you're healed, you're healed. Like that, you know that you're healed. You know, you have the physical evidence of that.
Yeah.
And so we know that we live in a fallen state. These are not our glorified bodies. I tell people that all the time. That's like my favorite thing. You are not in your glorified body.
Yeah.
This is not it.
Yeah.
So you're going to be.
Lord.
Right. No. You are going to be dealing with things, especially as you get older. In this body, and we have to use wisdom, and we have to make sure we have a balance lifestyle. We have to make sure we're eating the right things. I mean, there's so many components to making sure you have a holistic life. So that was a very long answer to your question. But I hope I captured some of the essence of what you were asking.
Because I was trying to see if I needed to or not, but you kind of answered it. Is where do you see patients that benefit from counseling based off of their medical condition or a diagnosis? Is there a, like, this is automatically related to a mental health issue?
I would say everybody. Okay. Everybody in some capacity.
Okay.
Should seek godly counsel. And let me say godly counsel. Let me say, make sure they can hear me. Godly counsel.
She just leaned up off the mic, y'all.
Yeah. So Josh and I have this joke because we're, I'm going to tell him, we are in some of the like private clinician groups on Facebook. Mm. And when I tell you how much ungodly counsel there is out there.
Yes.
Like I thought if my doctor sent me to somebody that believes in one-legged unicorn rainbow pony horses.
She's not exaggerating,
like I am. I mean, like literally, there is for every area of sin, there is an affirming counselor. Wow. Let me just say that.
That is a profound outlook. That is so true, though.
For every area of sin that people condone and endorse, there is someone that deems themselves to be a counselor that endorses that. And so you have to be careful because spiritually, we will be attracted to somebody that affirms our sin.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, whatever you're justifying, you know, with whatever behavior is, and I think we can go there, but there is someone that would affirm that. So you need godly counsel. You need the wisdom of God to be applied to your situation because the knowledge of man is foolish.
Yes.
Yeah.
That if there was ever a phrase for an enabler of sin.
Yes. Yeah.
That would be that.
Yes. And that actually the Lord revealed that to me that is how sin is. That's one of the ways the enemy is allowing sin to multiply and amplify because he is using ungodly counsel through professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting a stamp of approval and an endorsement saying that, you know, I talked to my counselor and my counselor says I'm fine because there really is. I mean, your profession is one that is highly respected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyone that deals with mental health because it's such a complex subject. And people are rightfully trying to find answers. And so sometimes they're not given the right answer.
Yeah.
They are not.
Yes.
Yeah.
Man. I wasn't expecting that.
Well, thank you, Lord. That's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We really, if you were to ask me how I do anything, and I think at some point you probably will, how it is the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for taking my next question.
You need the Holy Spirit because I was listening to somebody, and in the Bible it says, "Have you been filled since you first believed?" Not everybody that is a believer has been filled with the Holy Spirit. Correct. It's the reason why you can go to church with people that's been in church their whole life and are not on fire for the Lord. They're not filled.
Yes.
And so sometimes I have to realize it, like, are we all saved? Like, cause y'all not on fire. Like, I'm like, wait a minute. The Lord showed me, I was at a meeting with believers and I know these people love the Lord. They're just not filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't mean that to be condescending. No. I mean, because you can ask and there's many fillings of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But it is so critical to be, I mean, it's literally life or death. I had a patient, a mental health patient, actually. She'd just been discharged from a inpatient facility.
Okay.
And so I was helping her kind of bridge the gap and get her connected with services. Well, she came in and after two or three follow-ups, she wasn't getting better.
Okay.
And so the medicine's not working. I'm still hearing voices. The medicine's not working. And I thought, well, I said, you're probably past, number one, you're past the scope of what I can assist with in the sense of medication.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Lord, I heard the Lord say, ask her about her spiritual practices. And I said, okay, because now, mind you, I'm a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody I talk to is not a believer. I certainly do not, I'm very professional in my delivery and my approach. I've worked in very secular environments, but I've always been open about my faith, and yes. I will always ask permission, mm-hmm. you know, to pray with people and to, you know, and for, to practice yes. you know, my beliefs. So the Lord even told me how to ask her. I said, did you grow up going to church? Because that's a very mm-hmm. honest, neutral yeah. question, right? Yeah. And some people did, and they abandoned yeah. their faith. She yeah. said, yeah, yeah, I did. I said, what kind of church did you go to? That opened the door for mm-hmm. the dialogue. Mm-hmm. And so, and I said, do you have any spiritual practices now? Mm-hmm. I was like, anything that you do? And she began to share with me that she engaged in tarot card reading mm-hmm. and crystals. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord said, that's why you can't heal her. That's why you can't. He said, she's got a door open. There's nothing you can do to help. Mm. And so I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I would have been spinning my wheels yes. trying to figure out how to get her better. And then I revealed that to her. I said, you know, I said, that practice that you have mm-hmm. actually opens up doors. I said, and so until we address that, I said, mm-hmm. I certainly am not intending to imply or to impose myself yeah. upon your personal habit. I said, but I feel like that is where this is coming from. I said, and if I'm being completely mm. honest, I wouldn't have known that naturally.
Yeah.
I said, I felt led and compelled to share that yeah. with you. And so that's why you need the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Because I think most of our profession, most professionals don't operate with yeah. that level of discernment.
Yes.
And it can literally make a difference.
Yes, before I give any couple or an individual, anybody start any session, it's always it's scripted in my head, but Holy Spirit, I need your help.
Yeah, that's good.
Before I go to any, yeah. even if I already have the plan of what we're going to do,
yeah.
I need that
yeah.
to go forth yeah. with anything. And that He is that constant paraclete.
Yes.
He lives up to the name.
Yeah.
With God that all of that.
Near us. Absolutely.
All the time. I have been on, it's been on my mind, and I was going to ask you off the record too. Yeah. But when it comes to females and postpartum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I know you've experienced or worked with those women yeah. as well. And honestly, this is just fresh off the cuff. Like the last 2 weeks, I have yeah. just been wanting to speak with someone, mm-hmm. not necessarily to go through counseling with them,
yeah,
but just to hear their journey.
Yes, that's good.
What that all entailed for them, mm-hmm. Medically speaking. What is that journey? And I know for every woman, it's probably different.
Yes, yes,
but. Generally,
yes.
where from the physical to the mental health side yes. of it and the medical side of it, mm-hmm. what does that journey look like?
Yes. So let me start with saying that men and women each represent a very different side of God. That's why we complement one another. Mm-hmm. Women will often describe ourselves as being more intuitive, like we can just feel stuff, right? Okay. Because, or more emotional,
yeah.
right? More mm-hmm. emotional. And that has to do with our hormones.
Okay.
It has to do with our hormones. And so what happens in men, their hormones don't fluctuate during the month like women's do.
Right.
And certainly they don't go through a pregnancy mm-hmm. where your hormones go shoo, and then all of a sudden, psh.
Yeah.
And so those hormones, they're just chemical messengers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they are sending signals in your body, and they're telling your body how to perform and how to feel and what to do.
Okay.
When you go through postpartum, you have a sudden drop. You have this huge surge of hormones during pregnancy and then this sharp decline. And it causes women to experience emotional change that can feel very overwhelming, mm-hmm. especially if they're not guided. Now, what I have done in my own research is learned that a lot of it is attributed to thyroid issues that are undiagnosed.
Okay. Okay.
Because the thyroid is very active during mm-hmm. pregnancy.
Okay.
And oftentimes, that is it. There's literature out there that supports that. So that is probably a lot of it medically.
Okay.
But there's other hormones at work. When women are breastfeeding, their hormones actually, you have to go into almost a menopausal state in order to sustain your breast milk supply.
Mm.
So any woman that is listening that's mm-hmm. gone through knows that. So it's a very similar feel.
Mm-hmm.
We almost don't even check hormones because they're almost non-existent during okay. that time. But they all have a role to play. I think that as clinicians, I've done, you know, the work to go understand what the hormones are doing and why women are feeling that way. And sometimes just explaining to them that this is not in your mind. Like, your body is literally going through a change. Number one, to help you sustain a pregnancy and bring life into this world. But then even thereafter, to be able to sustain and nourish that life. And in fact, when women are breastfeeding, they don't have a menstrual cycle. Most of them do not.
Right.
Because those hormones are being suppressed to allow the production of breast milk. And so all of that plays a role. It's a very, I'm saying this 6 months postpartum, walking, just overwhelming feelings of sadness. Now, it's certainly, for me, it wasn't a consistent thing, but it's almost like clockwork. I can feel it when it comes. I mean, you can feel it. You can feel this, the heaviness, the feeling of sadness. And very emotional. Some women go through this cyclically, around their menstrual cycle. So it's not just, outside of postpartum.
Does that make it hard to tell what it is then? If it's so tied into that?
Sometimes. If you have someone that's skilled in asking the right questions, they should be able to help you determine if it's a cyclical thing or if it's a, periodic or episodic incident. But it's a very real thing. There are things naturally that women can do to help support their mood. Obviously, not to mention, if you didn't have all that going on, you ain't getting no sleep. So let's just say that. So then you throw sleep deprivation. I mean, that'll make a sane person.
Yes.
Right? I say sane like we're not sane. You know what I mean? That'll make a healthy person.
Yes. While,
that's like old army tactics. You sleep deprive somebody, you're going to bring out the very worst parts of them.
Oh, my goodness.
So you send somebody with crazy hormones home with a baby that's not sleeping. Two of them, two babies that ain't sleeping, right? And you better pray you have the Holy Spirit. My prayer for 6 months straight was, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. You have to, that is when you have to tap into something greater than your, you talk about, who we are as beings.
Yeah.
That we have a body, a physical body, and we absolutely do, but we are spiritual. We are very much, we possess a soul, but we are spirit.
Yes.
And you have to tap into the deep part of you, like, Lord, I need everything in me and everybody around me to carry me through this so that I do not succumb to these emotions, because you can. So there's a strength that you have in your spirit, man. If you've been building him up, you shouldn't wait till you're pregnant to do it. That's another. You should not wait until you're pregnant to try to, because that is when we are almost at our weakness. Our weakest is at that moment. So you rely on your support system. That's when husbands become amazing. Not that they weren't amazing before, but the support of a husband during that time is so important.
Yes.
It is so important. Not making her feel like she's crazy. I mean, let's be honest. Women tend to be, because we are the more attractive species, right? Then we go through our bodies change. Like, we were, we put on lots of weight, and now we still look like we're having a baby, but we're not. The baby is 6 months old, right? And we have to get adjusted. Our identity changes. Like, okay, so I went from being this person to now I'm this person, and, Even practically speaking, and I hope this is an adult audience, but the Bible says that the husband should enjoy the wife of his youth, right? All parts of her.
Yes.
Well, some parts of her are off limits.
Yes.
Because they become the babies.
Yes.
So now she has to be, wait a minute, hold on. They used to be yours, now they're the baby. So hold on, wait a minute. And then I mean, it's a conflicting thing for some women, much so. I mean, in extreme cases, some women won't even choose to nurse their babies because they feel like, oh, that's dirty. Or that's. And so you have to get clarity about those things. Like, no, you can do all things.
Yeah.
You can do all things. Like, God made us that way. Yeah. We are so multi-purposeful in that way. And so, that counseling helps to be able to sort through that and help women get clear about, when you asked me at the start of this, who am I? Like, my identity, I'm more than one thing.
Yes.
Like, the same part of my body that can satisfy a husband can nourish the baby.
Yeah.
And God made it that way. And it's not weird or gross. And it's something that women need to know. that God uses us to do so many things.
Yes.
So anyway, that's...
I may just go ahead and just send this podcast to my wife now.
Okay.
So after this day is over, we can...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll send all that. And she's probably shaking her hands down. Wherever she's listening, will be listening to this ad within that.
Hey, Kathy.
Yes, she'll hit me later. Before we go, one other thing. One, is there something that you felt like you wanted to mention about you, logos, anything?
No, we love people. We love God's people. I don't necessarily think I need to. We are absolutely open and accepting new patients. I just brought on two amazing providers,
yes,
both who love the Lord. I'm gonna tell you, I couldn't have hired them myself if I wanted to. I mean, I did, but the Lord led, He sent them here.
Yes,
He sent them here, and
yes.
So I will say, if you are looking for a place to trust with your healthcare,
mm-hmm,
and people that you know will pray over you,
mm-hmm,
for you, and help you through, this is where you need to be. And it's not just me. The Lord is having me train up like-minded believers,
mm-hmm,
that will carry the work forth
and
help us to extend our reach. So, yes, that's what I have to say about that.
Yes, and I will have your information will be at the bottom of the podcast,
yeah,
as well, within all of that, guaranteed. But do you have, I don't know how it works for your profession,
mm-hmm,
but do you have like a forte, like, or
a specialty?
Specialty.
Oh yeah.
That you do yourself?
Yes, I do. So, speaking of hormones, that's one of the things that we specialize in is hormones. Also, we definitely have a more holistic bend. So, we use conventional allopathic medication. So that's, you know, prescription medicine, so,
mm-hmm,
to speak. We use that when necessary, but we much prefer to help people use holistic or alternative treatments, and we can marry and blend the both of those. So I would say especially hormones is one,
mm-hmm,
helping women and men with weight issues, or even if it's not an issue, just helping you to get to your goal,
mm-hmm,
is another specialty. So yeah, I'd say those things. And then family care is what we do. That's our bread and butter. We take care of mamas and daddies and babies and
nieces and nephews.
And nieces and nephews. And we love everybody. So yeah.
It is. This is a, this building is a very special building. It's been prayed over.
Yes, it has.
Visions have come in to, mm-hmm, this building. I shared one with her after a Friday when nobody was here.
Yeah.
As well. And so there is just, this is why Hope Wells Holistic, opportunity for people to elevate. But,
mm-hmm,
holistic health is what you hear coming out of her mouth,
yeah,
as well. It's because it's what's needed, and one-sided health never helps.
Yeah.
With anything. I just did a teaching on what is mental health. You know, this is, right now it's in May, but mental health is not just your brain, so to speak,
yeah,
but it composes of your spiritual, your emotional,
mm-hmm,
your psyche,
mm-hmm,
and even who you are in social well-being. And so all of those are included when you talk about mental health. But I wanted you guys to know as well, especially my females that are, mm-hmm, this probably will be, I think we'll continue some more of the female side of things with mental health as well next time as well. But I wanted you guys to know where help is located. And if you do need to leave your current person, you know those acronyms,
PCP.
Yeah, come on over.
Yes.
Ask G-O-D about Jubilee.
PCP, ask G-O-D about Jubilee. I forgot, I rap a little bit too. I didn't tell y'all, I got a lot of the skills up my sleeve.
She got some bars, y'all. They're mostly Kit Kat, but she got some bars.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
But before we go, and I love the lightheartedness with it, Dr. Logan, will you pray for those that medically, and however spirit leads you within that.
Now, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we just invite your presence in where we believe that you are omnipresent. You're everywhere. Lord, there is one. Oh, we only need one. You came back for the one. So we thank you, Lord, for that one right now that is struggling in their mental health. And we pray right now that the words that have been spoken today would be healing. It would be like the balm of Gilead applied to their soul. You sent your word forth and they were healed. So we send healing forth over these airwaves, Father. We just pray that something said today would be enlightening, eye-opening, would be deliverance for someone. We pray that you would allow us to be vessels of and instruments of your healing. We thank you for the opportunity to serve your people in this life. And we receive every good and perfect thing you have for us. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We will catch you next time. And